I have told you in a previous lesson that the writings of the book of Deuteronomy is in some sense one of the saddest books of the Bible. It's the last words and testimony of a disappointed man. If you would question that statement, turn over to the third chapter of the book of Deuteronomy and go down to the 25th verse of the third chapter and listen to Moses as he prays this pitiful pleading prayer. He says, "Let me go over and see the good land," and that is beyond Jordan, "that goodly mountain. But the Lord was angry with me for your sakes and would not hear me. The Lord said to me, 'Let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me about this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and behold it with your eyes, for you shall not go over this Jordan.'" What a pitiful prayer, a pleading by a man who was willing to give his life and soul for this people, a man who 40-some years earlier had given up the palace and the easy life, a life of luxury. He gave that all up to be identified with the people of God. He cherished the rewards of God more than the pleasures of sin for season. He gave it all up, left a country, and for 40 years he took care of his own business. And he was on the backside of the desert taking care of his own business when God appeared to him, when Moses received a divine interruption. Moses was obedient to God's commandments and risked his life again, went back down to Egypt, convinced the people to come out of Egypt. Moses was a great lawgiver. 40 days and nights he fasted more than one time because of his love of the people. When God threatened to kill all of them and make of him a great nation, Moses said, "No, Lord, if you will not spare them, blot my name out of your book, the book that you have written." Moses was willing to be blotted out of the Lamb's book of life for the sake of these people. And I believe that Moses thought that surely he would be the one to lead them in. It is almost disconcerting to witness the severity of God's judgment upon this mighty warrior. But he broke the type. He violated the first principle of victorious living. You remember in Exodus, the 17th chapter, God told Moses to smite the rock, and the rock would give forth his water. And in Numbers chapter 20, God told Moses to speak to the rock, but Moses smote the rock. Moses declared the crucified Christ, but not the risen Lord. A man with half a message does only half a job. He got them out, but he did not get them in. Moses preached his people to tears of repentance again and again, but he never got them into the promised land. He wooed them, rebuked and encouraged them, and with tireless integrity, he stood in the gap. He interceded for them, but they returned again and again to their backsliding. He never got them in. No matter how gifted you may be, no matter how great a pulpiteer you may be, no matter how popular or famous you may become, the best that you can do with your own life or with the lives of others is to lead them from one place in the desert to another. Some have imagined that the cure for their spiritual impotency is a change of geographical location, a call to a new church, a change of occupation. But if you are living in the wilderness, you will be as useless in one part of the desert as you are in another. Listen to what the people told Moses. They said, "Wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It's no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink." Having sat under Moses preaching for nearly 40 years, all that they could say about the place to which he had brought them was that it was an evil place. No place of seed or figs or vines, and as dry as the desert. Is that the normal Christian life? Is that all that you may expect? And as a pastor or missionary or a Sunday school teacher, would you like those to whom you have ministered to for more than 38 years, would you want them to tell you that the place that you have brought them to is an evil place, that it has fallen completely short of anything that you gave them to believe? The children of Israel knew about Canaan in their heads. Moses had preached about it until they were tired of the sound of it. The only thing he did not do was to take them there. It's a weary business, preaching Canaan in the wilderness. It's a language without life. It's a sentiment without substance. God's instructions was explicit. The rock was never again to be smitten. The rock is now to be spoken to. Speak to the rock, and he will give you his water. The sad thing is that it is possible to become accustomed to living in the wilderness, especially when we are surrounded by wilderness Christians. If you know him only as the smitten rock, a crucified redeemer, no matter how grateful you may be to him, no matter how strong the urge to follow his ways, you will, like the foolish Galatians, having begun in the spirit, try to be made perfect by the flesh.